Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Christian Sager. Hey, Robert, I got a superhero question for you.
Sure.
Batman. Why doesn't he have any disease-related abilities or like an improved immune system? So you know, Batman's been around for like over 70 years. We largely know bats as being disease carriers, right? And yet he doesn't seem to, I mean, outside of like, I guess like he has little pellets on his pouch that he occasionally uses to throw gas at people, but I don't think it's like he's throwing Ebola at them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting when we start taking apart Batman, right? Because in what ways is Batman actually like a bat at all?
Right.
Or perhaps more telling, in what ways was he even initially like a bat? Because I know a number of talented writers and artists have had a chance over the years to build on the Batman mythos and occasionally incorporate bits of bat science. But maybe you can answer this, was he essentially just a dude in a mask?
Yeah.
Because this recently I watched a large portion of the really bad 1949 Batman and Robin series. It was like a serial, black and white.
1949. So this is pre the TV show. I don't think I've seen this.
Riff Tracks has been putting out installments of it.
And
it's really bad. It's from several different vantage points.
Yeah.
It has, there's some anti-Japanese sentiment that's in there.
Yeah.
It has this just terrible villain that's just called the Wizard. That's like just an old dude in a black robe. And it's the campiest versions of Batman and Robin as well.
You know what you would like, and we have never talked about this off air before, but it's just popping in my head now. Have you ever heard of Bat Manga?
No.
It's so Japan's version of Batman done as manga. There's some really old stuff, and there's a whole book that Chip Kidd put together that's a collection of the Bat Manga comics, so you get an idea of what Japan's iteration of Batman and Robin were like. But then also just like photographs of all of the collectibles, the Japanese collectibles related to Batman. Anyways, it's fascinating because when you mention this Batman villain, the Wizard, like when you think of your like top rogues for Batman. The Wizard isn't really high up there. And the Batmanga stuff is very similar. He's got all these like totally bizarre characters that he interacts with a Western perspective.
The thing that's interesting to me about the Wizard is that it seems like somebody would have brought the Wizard back just for the sake of doing it. Like, it seems like the kind of thing like a Grant Morrison would say, hey, nobody's brought this character back. What's some sort of crazy counterculture spin I can put on it?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Actually, so it's funny you mentioned that. Grant Morrison did bring back one of the weird villains from the Batmanga stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think his name was like Mr. Deathman or something like that. It's like a guy in a skeleton costume. Anyways, yeah, he doesn't really have bat abilities, right? Like,
right.
So he doesn't really fly. He glides for the most part.
But he does not have powered flight, which is the big deal with bats.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about that today. Mm-hmm. I guess he has the bat plane. That could kind of count sometimes.
Wow.
But anybody with an airplane has a plane. Yeah, exactly. He does use like echolocation. I think that's become like more of a thing since those Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a case where inventive writers came in and said, hey, we should make him behave a little like a bat, so let's throw him.
Yeah, those Arkham video games, like you can use the echolocation stuff pretty frequently. They call it detective mode, and you can basically like
see everything
around you in kind of like a radar fashion.
I wonder, has anyone ever decided to have Bruce Wayne and Batman as essentially a fruit bat, where when he's not fighting crimes, just sitting around eating mangoes all day?
Right, yeah.
That would be good.
I don't, you know, if anybody would do it, it would be Morrison. And likewise, you have down here, if he was a fruit bat, can he lactate?
That would be great, too.
Yeah.
That would put a new maternal spin on him, because just to throw out the quick snapshot of the science, certain varieties of male fruit bats lactate in order to help rear the young. Like most males, let me say that male humans can lactate as well under certain scenarios, but the male fruit bat in this case is the only example of a mammal that regularly lactates to help rear young.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that's even moderately close to that is, again, Morrison introduced a bat cow. You know how like Batman and Superman have like pets?
Mm-hmm.
He has like a dog and a cat, and like Superman has a horse and stuff like that.
Is this really a thing?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah.
Superman has a horse?
Yeah, Comet the Super Horse.
Huh. He rides it?
I think Supergirl rides it.
Okay.
Yeah, huh. And it flies. but Batman had a cow in the Grant Morrison line. Because I think like Robin, like they infiltrated some criminal headquarters where they were like abusing cows. And Robin like saved one of the cows and brought it back to Wayne Manor. And it had like the markings on its face, like the way that its coloration on its face was, looked like a bat symbol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
But all right, let's bring it back to sort of reality for a second here. Now, he doesn't really have any disease related abilities. And I'd say like, if you walk up to most people on the street and you say like, hey, bats, what are the first three things you know about them? Right. They'd be like, they fly, they have echolocation, and they're carriers of disease. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe when you and I get our hands on the Batman franchise in 10 or 20 years, we'll finally be able to write that, like Batman as the Black Plague.
Well, I guess it comes down to the idea that certainly you have comic book characters that are embodiments of disease, but they're, I think, almost all villains. I can't think of a hero off the top of my head. I'm sure there's somebody.
There's this really silly one. Oh, God, I can't remember what her name is. Infectious Lass, I think. She's one of the Legion of Superheroes. That's the only one I can think of.
Infection Lass.
Okay. Yeah. But why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about bats? Well, if you're a longtime listener of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, you know probably for the last year I've been casually saying, we should do an episode on bats. We should do an episode on bats. And then we did the Patient Zero episode, and we were talking about bats there because of how they spread disease, zoonotic disease. We specifically talked about the case of Dr. Liu Jianlun, who is a 64-year-old doctor in China's Guangdong province. And he apparently transferred SARS, I believe it was, to 16 other guests staying on the same floor of like a hotel. And this seemed to be a case of super spreading. We talk about this a lot in the Patient Zero episode. We get into the idea of how SARS was sort of a bat disease, right? That it was a zoonotic infectious disease. It jumped from one species to another. This step involved the virus being able to transmit then from human to human without an animal reservoir like a bat. So it was believed that SARS originated in bats and then spread to other animals like civet cats, and then the civet cats infected humans. Another thing that we talked about related to bats was that they've got all kinds of diseases that they're related to. Ebola, hepatitis C, SARS, and also perhaps MERS. In the case of SARS, it was thought that it spread to humans in 1994 by bats infecting horses in Brisbane, Australia. Then two people caught that virus from the horses, possibly from scratches or being exposed to infected blood. Both died horrible deaths. And other diseases, so they think maybe pigs have become infected by eating saliva-colored fruit that bats have just dropped, and then the pigs infect humans. So it doesn't seem like in a lot of these zoonotic infection cases that bats are biting humans and humans are getting the disease. It's like various ways bats are infecting other animals, and then those other animals are infecting humans.
They're just a major conduit in the chain.
Yeah. So we've received a little bit of listener mail about this asking for clarification. People were concerned primarily about like the conservation of bats and the idea that maybe we didn't give the full story and that that would subsequently lead to more fear-mongering of bats, right? And far be it from us, that is the last thing I want to do. In fact, I have to, just as a subjective thing before we really get into bats, I've spent some time in Austin, Texas recently, and if anybody who's gone there, they know about the Bat Bridge.
The Bat Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, and man alive, I love the Bat Bridge. It's so much fun. If you've never been, I forget, I think it's the Congress Street Bridge in Austin, but you go there certain times a year, certain times a night. Millions of bats live under this bridge, and they all fly out from underneath this bridge all at the same time. You get to see them for about like 30 minutes, just this swarm of them up in the air flying around and then going off to various parts of Austin to, you know, collect their food for the night, basically, before they go back to sleep under the bridge during the day again. I like bats. Like, yeah. If a bat was caught in my home, like, my reaction wouldn't be kill it. It would be like, oh, let's capture that guy and then let him back outside.
Yeah, I have to say that on vacations, especially vacations to the Caribbean, which I've got to go on two of those in the last couple of years, both trips I just really enjoyed watching the bats when the sun began to go down. Yeah, they're just fascinating creatures, and when I have captured them in the house before, not my house, but like a vacation house that I was staying in one time. Over a weekend, we found it. It had somehow gotten trapped in the house, and it was trying to like get water out of the sink.
Okay,
and I thought it was a tea bag at first. I'm glad, in retrospect, that I did not like grab
it
out
of
my fingers,
your tea.
Yeah, or put it in my tea and have some horrible bat tea concoction. But my son and I like made an activity out of freeing the bat from the house and helping it get away. So, yeah, bats are fascinating creatures. We're certainly not trying to spread any fear about it. In fact, this episode is about spreading some truth on the matter.
Yeah, in fact, we have actually gotten to the point where between, yes, bats carrying a lot of disease, but they have these fascinating immune systems that we're starting to look at the science of their anatomy, how it deals with these viruses, and then how we might apply that to human beings. Bats may be the key to us living longer lives and fighting off diseases that currently are pretty dangerous to human beings.
One day we may all be Batman and Batgirls.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, unlike Bruce Wayne, we will maybe carry viruses, but our immune systems will be so fast that we'll just be constantly compromising them.
All right. Well, should we get down to brass tacks then?
Yeah, let's do a little overview about bats. I think we should say, first of all, like, Stuff to Blow Your Mind, before I was on it, did a bunch of bat episodes. You and Julie have talked about them extensively. So let's just do a refresher.
Okay. So all told, there are about 1,105 different species of bats in the world, and they make up about a quarter of all mammal species. There are 45 different species of bats that live in the United States and Canada. Most bat species live in the tropical regions of the world. Now, evidence for bat-like flying mammals appears as far back as the Eocene epoch, some 50 million years ago. However, the fossil record tracing bat evolution is incomplete. So based on similarities of bones and teeth, most authorities agree that bats' ancestors were probably insect-eating animals, possibly living in the trees, and likely the same group that gave rise to shrews and moles.
Oh, okay.
So bats are not rodents, and they're not even closely related to that group of mammals.
Yeah, that's really important for what we're going to discuss today, too, because they're often compared to rodents in terms of how the two different species act as disease carriers.
Right, you think of them as like a flying mouse. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So most bats in North America eat insects. As a matter of fact, one bat eats about 2,000 to 6,000 insects each night.
Wow.
And just a few other crazy cool facts about them. When it comes to flying, it's easy to think, oh, well, it's a mouse with wings. It's like a cross between a mouse and a bird.
Well, you're right.
It's more complicated and more amazing than that. So throughout human history, we've only had a few evolutionarily distinct modes of flight. And there are only three distinct modes of vertebrate flight. There's the pterosaurian flight that was, employed by the by
pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls, pteranodons, etc. And then you have avian flight, and then you have chiropteran flight, which is bats.
Okay.
So these are distinct modes of flight that evolved separately. And then on top of that, there's insect flight as well. So
right.
Four models all told. Now, you once had megabats as opposed to microbats, and these are large bats that were that are found in old world tropical rainforests such as Australia, Asia, and Africa.
So dire bats.
Yeah. And then the biggest bat in the world right now is the Malayan flying fox found in Asia. It weighs about 2 pounds and has a wingspan of about 6 feet, and it eats only fruit.
See, yeah, and people are probably, scared of it, I would assume, even though it's just, eating nectar.
Eating nectar and pooping. I mean, that's
right. Yeah.
That's what
they do. The flying fox comes up a lot in this research.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the species that's investigated.
Now, the smallest bat in the world is Kitty's hognose bat, also called the bumblebee bat, and it's found in Thailand. It weighs about 2 grams. That's about how much a dime weighs, and it has a 6-inch wingspan.
So that's like a hummingbird bat.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little thing.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will jump into the disease.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Okay, so we're back. So yeah, so there is this just assumption by most people that bats carry disease, right? That's why most people freak out when they find a bat in their house. It's like, oh, it's going to spread disease. It's probably got rabies or something, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a, God, I remember this when I was like 5 years old. We were at my uncle's house and there was a bat in the attic and he had a tennis racket and was like chasing this bat around the house with a tennis racket, trying to kill it. And I, even at five, I was like, why just open the window, man? Let this bat go. Anyway, bats are a refuge for some of the world's most lethal diseases to humans. That is true. And that includes rabies, Ebola, Marburg, and SARS. Now, because there are many high-profile epidemics that are traced to bats, we call these bat-borne viruses. And there's a whole line of investigation related to bat-borne viruses. They're similar. The way that they carry disease is similar to rats or mice, in that they are known as disease reservoirs. But again, they are not rodents. So these are very different species. Now, while they seem adept at harboring and spreading disease, others argue that this notoriety for bats isn't justified. Most of the time, reservoirs like bats rarely show symptoms of the disease that they're actually infected with. This is why it came up as a topic when we were talking about patient zero. Mm-hmm. Other times, the virus infects a new, more vulnerable species like us, human beings. This is why most research says that bats were responsible for the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Now, what's weird is that bats don't seem to die as quickly from these viruses. In Ghana, for instance, 60 to 80% of fruit bats over 10 years old had antibodies in their system for the rabies Lisa virus, but they were all in good health. The same goes for those that were carrying Ebola. There was only one presumed bat-to-human transfer of the disease. So there's this fear that the bats are going to spread the disease to us, right? And yet there's very little evidence that there's bat-to-human transfer, but more along the lines, like we were talking about earlier, that it's more like bats infect other animals, we're encroaching upon bat habitats, therefore we get infected as it transfers from animal to animal, the zoonotic infection.
Now, obligatory Simpsons reference. I remember there being an episode where it's explained that Mr. Burns is still alive because he has all of these illnesses that are – I think they use a graphic that shows like all these illnesses trying to squeeze through a door at the same time and none of them can get through, and that's why he can't die from any of them.
That's fascinating.
So I can't help but think of
so
that.
So he's kind of a bat.
Yeah, kind of.
In Australia, 30 to 70% of flying foxes, I told you they'd come up, had antibodies to the Hendra virus. And this indicated that they'd been infected with it at some point. But only 3% at any given time were actually carrying it. So that's a small amount compared to the amount that had been infected. The infected bats themselves had low levels of this pathogen, indicating that they were somehow keeping it at bay. Subsequently, it's really rare for the Hendra disease to pass even from bats to horses. However, in 2011, it leapt over in 24 cases. And the theory for that is because the bats were stressed out. And that this caused a surge in the level of viruses that the bats were carrying and subsequently made it easier for them to pass it on to horses. This is going to be important later when we talk about massive culling of bats, when people go, oh, they're disease carriers. We've got to wipe them out. Go destroy their colonies, right? Or else they're going to give us these diseases. That could only make things worse, because then you're stressing out the bat population, which makes the diseases become even more powerful.
Now, I want to throw in a note on vampire bats here as well. So the author, Bill Shute, has a wonderful book titled Dark Banquet that deals with vampiric organisms in general, but a lot of it deals with bats.
It's also a Vampire the Gathering RPG manual.
It could be if you want to do a very science-oriented campaign. He also has a book on cannibals out that I have not read.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, in the book, he points out that vampire bats introduce the additional threat of a disease-promoting wound. The host survives the feeding, but the wound invites additional organisms and infections. The bigger concern, though, is going to be rabies. So it's not the most deadly or the most common bat-borne illness, but if the infection takes hold, it's essentially 100% fatal in humans and rather infamous as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the pathogens affecting humans. And in bat populations overall, rabies seroprevalence, that's the number of persons in a population who test positive for a specific disease, can reach 50%.
Hmm. And you have some notes here about Trinidad. We were talking a little bit about this earlier because of some Trinidadian folklore. There's bats all over the place down there.
Yeah, and this is an account that Shute mentions in his book that I think is interesting. It definitely involves both bats and disease, but also superstitions, attempts to cull bat populations. So in Trinidad, bat-transmitted rabies killed 89 people and thousands of cattle between 1925 and 1934. In 34, that's when the Trinidadian Medical Department rolled out its anti-rabies unit, and their job was to respond to vampire bat attacks, net and destroy the vamps. So they did this by not only killing the bats on the site, but they also painted poisonous paint on vampire bats, decimating colonies. It was a rough situation.
Jeez. Well, and I immediately think to the current science and wonder how much they stressed out the bat population, further spreading disease to the human population.
I think they certainly did.
Yeah.
And Shute points out that superstition played a part in this as well. So local Trinidadian folklore told of creatures called sukiants, and these are crones or hags that can shed their skin at night and become a fiery, blood-sucking ball. Hmm. And you sprinkle rice on your doorstep to keep them away.
Okay.
Now, there were also conservationists at the time, and they combated the folklore and the general, you know, fear of disease associated with bats by spreading the message that, look, there are only 2 out of 58 bat species on the island that are vampires. And of those 2, only the common vampire bat, or Desmodus rotundus, is a significant rabies threat.
Okay. So that definitely sounds like a situation where the fear of bats sort of got the better of the human population and maybe made the problem worse. So we've really outlined here that, okay, these bats carry all these diseases. They don't seem to be affected by it too much. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? And, you know, subsequently, why then does it transfer? Okay. Well, seems like bats have super immune systems. Again, something you would think that Batman would have as power, right? Like that would be a cool power. He just never gets – I guess Batman just never gets sick anyways. But it's not like any villains are trying
He's too busy.
To give
he
him cancer.
He's too busy.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of why the bats, it turns out, have such great immune systems. There's 2 schools of thought here, okay, on whether bats actually carry a disproportionately high number of viruses. The first school of thought goes like this. Bat-related epidemics arise because there are so many species of bats and there's so many individual bats that the emergence of all these various diseases isn't surprising. like Robert said at the top, there's more than 1,200 bat species. Bats comprise more than 20% of the mammals on Earth. A single colony can sometimes have millions of bats living in it. And there may be a massive amount of bat diversity, right? In a 2013 study on the Indian flying fox, that giant bat, 55 viruses were detected in its system. 50 were previously unknown. So they're carrying a lot. That's just one species. We may be hearing about bat-borne epidemics more often simply because of how humans are interacting with bats, right? We're encroaching in on their habitats. Subsequently, they suffer from the stigma of being disease-ridden. And likewise, bats are surveyed more often and are easier to catch than other mammals, too. So subsequently, we're, again, interacting with them more, maybe for studies. So some conservationists argue that the viruses they carry aren't actually emerging infectious diseases, but they're simply just new to us as human beings. And let's remember, too, bats live in those packed colonies, right? So it's super easy for them to pass viruses onto one another. They also can fly thousands of kilometers, which subsequently makes it easier for them to deliver viruses to further distances. Okay, that's the first theory. Here's the second, like, Wolverine healing factor immune systems theory, okay? Bats have a special physiology and lifestyle that makes them exceptionally good at hosting viruses. Bats live between 3 and 10 times longer than other mammals their size, and we used to think that this was because of hibernation, but there's been a lot more research into this lately. If you inject a bat with bacterial toxins that would normally trigger an immune response in mammals, a bat will have no fever, and no spike in white blood cells. Now, research published in 2012 shows that while bat genomes contain many of the same ingredients as other mammals, bats use these genomes differently. Bat genes coding for proteins detect and repair damaged DNA, and they are much more prevalent than we had previously thought. So this new line of thinking is that bat genes are doing something that helps them survive and reproduce, and that they subsequently pass these awesome genes along to subsequent generations. So those same DNA repair genes that I was talking about are frequently the targets for invading viruses. In fact, key genes in DNA damage repair are also involved in tumor development and immunity, and this might be why bats are evolving in such a way. Now, here's a crazy anecdote. Bats almost never develop tumors. Perhaps this is because these repair genes are just constantly outpacing malignant growths. They almost never get cancer. When you give them tumor-causing drugs, they're less likely to develop cancer than other mammals. So that's pretty wild. In humans and mice, defenses like these repair genes, those are activated in response to a threat, right? So sort of like we were talking about in our other episode this week, you know, it's a stimuli system. If you have a trigger, it activates it. In this case, in bats, it seems to be perpetually turned on. Their immune system is just always on. And that might be why the viruses they carry are kept below a point where they can actually harm their host. Also, bats seem to have lost an entire branch of their immune system that's made up of inflammasomes. These are the receptors and sensors that induce inflammation. So they've evolved to turn down their inflammatory response to various threats, including viruses. So basically, bats are just like, ain't no big thing. I've got 55 viruses in me right now, right? Now, why? You're probably going, well, why bats and not me, right? The thought here is it's because of the high metabolic rate bats have to keep up to maintain their energy they produce while they're flying. Otherwise, the stress of flying itself would damage their cells and their DNA if it wasn't so quickly detected and repaired. So the ability to carry all these lethal viruses may come actually as a co-evolutionary accident. Bats are the only mammals that are capable of powered flight, which is super demanding in terms of energy, and it subsequently is very tough on their metabolism. A bat's heart can beat over 1,000 times a minute if they need it to, and their metabolic rate in the air increases 34 times. When you compare that to rodents, again, not the same species, but exercising rodents, they only jump up to 8 times their metabolic rate. When your metabolism is as ramped up as bats are, it spews out free radicals. And these are energetic particles that can damage cells and kickstart inflammation. So it's possible that bats evolved specifically for flight and that that just casually also allows them to avoid overreacting to viral infections.
Now, another note on vampire bats. I think we've touched on this in the past and we've discussed real world vampires. But this makes the vampire bat situation even crazier. They have this crazy metabolism to deal with, the costs of high costs of powered flight, and they're depending on the nutrient-deprived feast of blood to power everything.
Right.
This is like if you met somebody and you sit and you ask them, hey, what are you into and what do you do for a living? And they say, well, I have a hobby of mine is just collecting really expensive wines, and my profession is hot dog photography, only hot dog photography. And you're like, ooh, I don't know, guy. That sounds like you've got a really expensive hobby and an extremely specific career here that I can't imagine pays the dividends necessary.
Right. Yeah. Well, the idea about the bat immune system seems to be supported when we look at their mitochondria. It seems that their mitochondria has undergone more evolutionary changes than the mitochondria that's in other mammals. Individual bats have an assortment of mitochondria rather than the way that most organisms like us have just carbon copies of it. This seems to help them deal with the damaging free radicals that are produced during flight, all of which can explain their long lives, the tumor resistance, and more. Bat mitochondria also might be like these crucial command centers that sense and decide whether a cell should fight or just self-destruct. So they've really got this, like, to use the same metaphor that we're using in this week's demon episode, like, they've got a great home security system when it's all, like, you know, in terms of dealing with viruses, dealing with the metabolic breakdown in their system, etc. Another hypothesis that's related to bat flight, though, is that they generate so much heat that it actually mimics a fever. Now, you know, fevers combat infection by raising our body temperature to levels that will kill or disable any invading pathogen. But maybe bats' body temperatures are so high when they fly that they're just inadvertently killing viruses off.
Yeah, this is an interesting take on bat immunities. There is a 2015 study published in Biology Letters that hypothesized that a lot of it could come down to these drastic temperature changes over the course of just a single day. So a bat sleeps in the day, temperature drops to conserve energy, then slows the pathogen spread in the process. Then it goes out to hunt, in which case its temperatures exceed 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and this which basically involves a daily fever to increase the activity of certain immune cells.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff that is not incorporated into Batman lore. Batman doesn't have a fever all the time.
Yeah, or he's not, like, burning up with
he's energy. Burning up with rage at the death of his parents.
That's true. Now, here's another interesting thing about bat metabolism. So they're heterotherms, meaning they can exhibit characteristics of both warm and cold-blooded organisms. But they're distinct from all other heterotherms in that no matter what the season, their resting temperature and metabolic rate is dependent on a non-ambient temperature. They're the only mammals in which the resting metabolism is a direct function of the body temperature rather than the ambient temperature.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, and that came from an article by Raymond J. Hawk, The Metabolic Rates and Body Temperatures of Bats.
And some of you are probably wondering, well, okay, bats fly, but so do all those other creatures that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. What about birds? You know, do birds have the same superpower? Well, birds are also long-lived, and that's possibly because flight enables them to just evade predators. But it's also because flight increased their chances of developing a mechanism to reduce cellular damage. Very similar, right? So the metabolic thing is similar. I don't know necessarily, though, that the body temperature thing equals out, probably because we're talking about mammals versus birds, totally different anatomies. Either way, some scientists still worry that bat-borne viruses are so lethal because they've evolved to withstand the bat's incredibly active immune system. But if they transfer to humans, right, so like rabies or Ebola, these viruses are super well equipped to defeat our weaker immune systems. So subsequently, that's why we have such a hard time dealing with these.
Oh, wow. So in the Dune universe, the bat would be like a hell world where you right. Where you evolve and develop a highly effective mode of shock troops.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take another break, and when we get back, we're going to close out by talking about, hey, don't kill those bats, because we might be able to use them to lead to improvements in our health.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
All right, we're back. So hit me, Christian. How can we potentially become more bat-like? Am I going to need a telepod and a bat, and are we going to splice ourselves together into a man-bat?
Yeah, you know, that seems like one way that would work pretty well, but it would, you know, like with man-bat, you would kind of, like, lose total control of your personality and probably murder your wife. But, and you wouldn't want to do the Batman thing, because like we said, Batman is just a guy in a costume. He's got some gadgets. He's not really... you know, cranking up the metabolism. He doesn't have a great immune system.
Man-Bat, for anyone listening who's not familiar, is of the bat-human hybrid that showed up in the Batman comics. I remember him most fondly from the cartoon.
He's kind of what you think of when you first hear Batman. That like he would? It's like a were-bat.
Yeah, with like ripped blue jeans, right?
Totally, yeah. Now, as a result of recent viruses, whole bat colonies are being killed off in the name of public health, as we mentioned earlier. And experts say, look, we shouldn't be afraid of bats because the viruses they carry, comparatively, hardly ever transmit to human beings. In fact, Killing bats may make things worse. Like I mentioned, the stress on the remaining bats could actually raise their viral loads, which could lead to more transference to other animals. But what if bats could hold the key to improving human health and allowing us to live longer? Well, if we look at knowledge and we try to figure it out, how their immune systems work, and that leads to the development of drugs that would improve our health and lifespan, that's one way that we could do it. So we basically reverse engineer those proteins and then we turn it into medicine. Or we could use gene editing technology to make human genomes more like bats, which would give us similar immune system properties. Although I have to wonder if there would be some kind of like drawback with that, in the sense that, like, if your metabolism was that fast, but you weren't flying all the time,
right?
Wouldn't you just be constantly like you hungry?
Yeah, I mean, that would seem to be the case.
So you'd have to eat a lot more. Maybe that's where we start eating bugs. Researchers are also trying to identify the proteins that specifically allow bats to control inflammation and other processes that are associated with disease. So it's possible that we could one day use these proteins or a version of them to treat disorders where inflammation is a problem, like, for instance, rheumatoid arthritis or heart disease. So we could use these to stop viruses like Ebola also from killing us. Like, if we figure out how the bat system works, then we apply it to the human anatomy system, we could potentially be resistant to Ebola and rabies in the same way that they are, or maybe other viruses that we haven't even discovered yet.
So to bring it back to Batman, you do have to, I guess, acknowledge that Batman, if nothing else, he's long lived, he's resistant to illness and death. If you take into account that the character hit comic book stands for the first time in 1939, and assuming Wayne was, what, at least 20 at the time, he's still going strong today at close to 100, over 100 years old.
Yeah, Ben Affleck doesn't look a day over 99. Yeah, I mean, that speaks to the power of the mythology, I think, of Batman in popular culture, for sure. But yeah, it's definitely, it seems like Batman and other superheroes are certainly long-lived, but there's no explanation in the meta text of why Batman has been around for so long, right?
Tell me
even
this.
In like some of them, like there's a, do you remember Batman Beyond, that cartoon
that was
in the future?
Yeah. And so in that you have the old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Cause this was going to be my next question. What is the oldest depiction of Bruce Wayne and or Batman in a comic book or cartoon?
Yeah. I think it's that.
Yeah.
And in that, even then he's still kind of a badass. Mm-hmm. And the Bat Dog comes up in that because he's got a Ace the Bat Hound hangs out with him in the cave all the time.
Okay.
But there's also another depiction, I think it's in Kingdom Come, which is a sort of alternate universe story. Again, older Batman, but he like wears more like sort of like an Iron Man armor version of like the Batman suit that allows him to go out and fight crime and deal with other superheroes and stuff.
Old dude in a power armor suit.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right.
But none of it had to do with his metabolism or gene editing.
All right. Well, there you have it. We've talked about bats and diseases. We've gone back and forth a little bit about Batman, and now we leave it to you. We ask you for feedback.
Yeah, so, you know, let us know. I want to make sure that we gave bats a fair shake. Let us know if you feel that that was the case. Let us know if you like bats or if you, you know, you think we're totally wrong here and you're like, yeah, all bats must be annihilated, right? Also, look to Facebook because we're probably going to be doing a Facebook Live about, I would imagine, demons and bats the week that these episodes come out, related to trailers of movies that have bats in them. Do you remember that bat movie that had Lou Diamond Phillips in it, who was literally called just Bats?
No, I don't think I remember that.
It came out in the 90s. It was a pretty terrible horror movie. We might have to pull that one out.
Oh, man. I can think of at least a couple of bat-related horror films from the past, though, that would be fun to discuss.
Yeah, I think we've got a good trailer talk coming up for us. podcast. So if you like watching those, or if you've never seen one before, tune in on Facebook. You don't have to watch it when it's live. It'll sit on our Facebook page. Usually Robert, Joe, and I sitting around for about 30 minutes talking about the science related to this week's episodes, tying into our favorite monster movie trailers. So you can find that on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We're on Tumblr. We're on Instagram. We've also got stufftoblowyourmind.com, where there's all those bat podcasts that Julie and Robert did in the past. If you want to just binge listen to bat information, we got it.
And if you want to get in touch with us the old-fashioned way, just hit us up at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.